One sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee.
It's time to open the Word once again with Evangelist Lester Roloff on the Family Altar Program.
Glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. You hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Trespasses, we'd been violating, hadn't we? Yes, we'd been on forbidden property. We were trespassers. And sins have to be brought before the judge. Game warden got us. We're going to have to face our trespasses and our sins. Wherein in time past, this explains it, in time past, didn't say in time present, talking to the Ephesian Christians now. I want to remind you all, he said, in time past, you walked according to the course of this world. Course of this world. Course of this world's downhill, just like the course of water's downhill. Water doesn't run uphill. The course of this world. Tell you something else. A dead fish always goes downstream, but a live fish goes upstream. Oh, my mind races back to the boyhood days after a refreshing rain, which meant we didn't have to go to the field unless we had to go to the corn crib to shuck corn and shell it and take it to the mill and work on the fence row. And oh, my dad could think of so many unnecessary things seemed like to do. He was a past master at manipulating jobs. But sometime, usually in the morning, the summertime, after a beautiful spring rain had come, we were permitted, of course, because of the warm weather, to go barefooted. We'd roll up those overall legs about to the knee and above. We'd start up the little stream by the side of the road. I can see them now, the little sun perch going upstream. Going upstream, little old goggle-eyed perch going upstream. Always going upstream. But every once in a while, I'd run into one that got killed and he just floating downstream. It's where the world's going tonight, downstream. It's where y'all been going. Where y'all were going when you came here, downstream. You know what? Dead. Dead. You know what a downstream will make any difference to me, whatever the crowd wants to do. Downstream. Downstream. Christians, we'll always buck the tide. Just like when I go out to that airport this week to take off, I find out which way the wind's coming from. When I started flying, why, you know what I thought? Why, I thought I'd take off with the wind to help me get off the ground. Strong the wind's blowing, why, that'd be tragic. You take off in a 30-knot wind, 30-some-odd miles an hour, you'd have a hard time getting off the ground. Take a long time. But when you come up against that wind, she lifts you right up. Oh, give me a good headwind, I'll be off the ground in just a few hundred feet. Downstream, course of this world. Course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Since I've been flying, I think I've met him, prince of the power of the air. The weather's become more violent. The old prince of the power of the air, spirit that now worketh in the children, what, of disobedience? There's a spirit that makes you disobedient. It's the devil's spirit. The spirit that now worketh. When? Now worketh in the children of disobedience. I want you to see now what happened to a lost man. First of all, he's dead. Second, he goes according to the course of this world. Doesn't make him any difference. Prince of the power of the air. He's disobedient. Verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh. That's right. We all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, born like that. Notice what he said. You're dead. You go according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air. You'll be disobedient. You'll have your life. That word conversation means life. In the lusts of our flesh, you'll fulfill the desires of the flesh, and you'll do just what you want to do and what your mind thinks for you to do. Why? Because you were by nature, you were born the children of wrath, even as others. There's no hope. Now, that explains juvenile delinquency. Why don't the probation officer and why don't the psychologist, why don't they read that chapter to somebody? Why don't they tell the children what's wrong with them instead of saying you have a deep emotional problem? I believe you have a psycho experience in your mind. And so why don't they just tell you that you're a child of the devil and you're acting like him? Why don't the judge send, I'm not bragging, God forbid. Why don't the judge send me all that bunch and I tell them what's wrong with them? One of the executives of a great company came to see me this week. And his little daughter, to the tune of $8,000 in 4 months. That's $8,000 in 4 months. $2,000 a month for her bed. You know what she's got out of it? Dope. And I said, she'll never get victory. Oh, they said they've given her liberty now. I said, sure, they got her under control now. And I mean, she'll come back to the trough just like a hog comes to get his slop. We had them old hogs under control pretty well. All I had to do was rattle a slop bucket and holler, "Pig!" Man, they'd run over each other. You'd hear them squealing, selfish rascals. They wanted some slop. Same thing with dope. I call it slop. I know that's not a dignified term, but that's what it is. It's filth. It's foreign substance to a human body. And you'll never be cured by taking that kind of dope either and junk. And I said to that executive, one of the heads of a great company, if I called his company, you'd recognize it as some company. Multi-million, million, million company. He said, I believe I'll go get her and I'll be here tomorrow. Tomorrow hadn't come. But I tell you one thing, Mr. Executive, your little daughter will die a dope head until she comes to Jesus.
That's right.
And he told me, said, she is so sedated until she hardly recognizes her own daddy when he comes in the room. Boy, it wouldn't take me long to get my little daughter out of a place like that. You think I'd turn my mind over to a bunch of dope heads? You don't like what I'm saying, but let me tell you something, Mr. Psychiatrist and Mr. Doctor. You're going to give an account to God one of these days for the dope heads you're turning out. You may not like what Brother Roloff says about it, but I mean, when you haven't got anything to give but dope, you've turned out to be a sorry medicine man. Call them miracle drugs if you want to. I'm simply saying tonight, we need to tell our young people, as well as older people, what's wrong with them. The Bible says they're dead in trespasses and sin, and they're going to have to float according to the course of this world. You can't tell a dead man to go upstream. He can't go anywhere except with the crowd. That's reason y'all ran with the wrong crowd. I've heard it until I can hear it in my sleep.
Well, she's really a good girl, but she got with the wrong crowd. Reckon what she's doing with the wrong crowd. If she was really good, why did she get with the bad crowd? It could be possible that a little bad streak was in her. Let's face it, sin, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone. Let's see if there's any brighter picture. We got a conjunction coming up. Sometimes I'd like to preach a sermon on these two words, but God. That old boy that had that big farm over there, you know, and had a great crop, and he didn't have enough room to put his harvest, and he said, I believe we'll tear down my old barn, build me some new ones. Say to my soul, take it easy. You got her made. You're rolling in wealth, but God. But this is a wonderful, but God. Notice, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Hath raised us up. Amen. The devil took us down, Jesus raised us up. Made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Think about it. Made us sit together. I like that word, together. Wouldn't it be something if the families would get along together? All of us would walk together. The Bible said we're laborers together. Made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For, here's my text, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But he didn't stop there. For we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I noticed that the businessmen have exhibitions. Down at the city auditorium, I noticed that the lumbermen, the house builders, the merchants, they have an exhibition time, and they show what they've done and what they can do. The automobile companies come down and they set their new models up, and they have exhibitions. They demonstrate, they show what's new. I wonder tonight, and this will kind of search us out a little, if Jesus were to come back to the earth and said, I'd like to have an exhibition of what I've made. We're going to put you on display. I just wonder if he'd stop by my house. I wonder if he'd come over here and get any of you. You reckon maybe he'd call your name and said, say, I want you to be down at the exposition hall in the morning at 9 o'clock, and I want you to sit there, stand as one of my products. I'm so thankful for you. I do not know of a sweeter model that I could get than you. Reckon he'd choose you? You reckon he'd pass us up? Could he find somebody that would be a good example before the people? The devil's got a lot of exhibitions, hasn't he? Fact is, I've been working on a lot of his. When he gets through with his newest models, they're ready for Jesus. When you come to the end of yourself and finally throw up the white flag and say, I can't make it by myself, then you're ready for the Lord to help you. That's the reason I'd like
for you to just come right on out to the end of everything. Just say, well, I've tried this and I've tried that. You've been joined the church, got baptized, and your mother sent you to a home. You've been to the psychiatrist, you went to the doctor, you went to the psycho wards, you've gone everywhere. Why don't you just go ahead and admit nothing will work but Jesus?
Right.
And all right, Grace, it's all that ever helped you, wasn't it? I wish I had the money that's been spent on doctors and medicines and tranquilizers on the crowd that's in this auditorium right now. We'd build the cafeteria, the gymnasium, and the offices and pay cash for them and have some left over. I know what I'm talking about. We've got the opportunity that very few people have ever had. And what you may call your burden ought to be your blessing. We're rich in opportunity. In the churches, they visit on Sunday morning. Some come for Sunday school for about 30, 40, 50 minutes, and then they stay for the service. Sunday night, it's empty. Wednesday night, it's empty. No more revivals because the people won't come anymore. Of course, I tried to tell the people back there many years ago, I said, television will put out all the evangelistic fires of this generation. And I was right about it. There's nothing that's kept people away from church like television. Wednesday night is a farce. There's not a baker's dozen that goes to any church on Wednesday night anymore. They tell me that some of the favorite television programs are on Wednesday night and Sunday night. Those two nights. When I started preaching on the radio 29 years ago, Sunday night was still largely the Lord's night. They would not schedule anything on Sunday night. Sunday night time was open. But now then, it's prime time for entertainers. When I started preaching 40 years ago, there wasn't a picture show in the country that would open up on Sunday. Very, very few. In our little town, no picture show on the Lord's Day. There wasn't a school that put on a program on Sunday or Wednesday. They said, well, that's prayer meeting night and church night. We work together with the home, the school, and the church. Not anymore. Not anymore. That's the reason I don't have any respect for these commercialized football teams and baseball teams. They have no respect for the Lord's Day. They play Sunday afternoon, Sunday night. Brother, if they're going to get in my way, I'll just get in theirs.
Amen.
I've got time to fool with that bunch, and then they have beer and betting and gambling and everything else. Let them have it. That belongs to the world.
Right.
I preach. Listen, brother, I'm preaching on grace. Bible said, for the grace of God which brings salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously in this present world, looking unto God the Father and our great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That's what grace does. Religion won't do that, but grace will. Works won't do that, but grace will. You'll never work your way into sanctification. Brother, I believe in holiness as a result of salvation and not a cause. I don't believe I can live holy enough to be holy. But I tell you what I can do. I can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is holy, and he'll impart to me his holiness. He said, son, since you don't have any, I'll just give you mine. I'll swap you my holiness for your unholiness. Brother, that's the greatest swap I ever made in my life. That's grace. That's salvation by grace. For by grace are you saved, through faith. That not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus,
unto good works, which God has before ordained we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time, here we are, ye were without Christ. What a lonely trail. What an icy cold trail. Here we go. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, no hope, no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath both made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built up on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. I call your attention, verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make himself in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Many years ago, this story came to me, and I'm through. A mother who loved her husband and loved her son saw a mighty breach come between the father and the son. Try as she would, pray as she did, she couldn't bring them together. They were completely divorced, foreigners, strangers. The son had nothing to do, a grown son had nothing to do with his dad. It seemed that he hated his dad, and his dad was as bitter toward the son. The mother, praying mother, became very ill, and she went to her deathbed. The father realized that soon his wife would be dead. The son, alienated from his father, but loved his mother, it seemed, would try to come to see her when the father wasn't around, and likewise the father. And one night, this mother, knowing that the end was drawing near, called her husband. He came to her bedside. And then she called the name of her son who was in his room and said, "Son, come." And he walked in. The mother said to her husband, "Would you kneel on this side of the bed?" And he did. And feebly she said to her son, "Would you kneel?" She took her husband's hand and brought it across her body, reached over and grabbed her son's hand and joined those hands. And according to the story, she died with those two hands locked together. She paid the price. That's exactly what Jesus did for me. When Adam sinned, the chain of fellowship was broken, and the Lord Jesus Christ, on his deathbed on Calvary, took the Father's hand. He reached out and got my old sinful hand and join these hands together. I've been having fellowship with him ever since. But oh, the price that he paid, that's grace.
I am coming to that old cross. I am poor and I'm weak and I'm blind. I am counting all but dross. I shall full salvation find.
Thank you for joining us today on the Family Altar Program with Lester Roloff.